got loose and it was really dark outside. I had barely a little bit of light. Linda had gone down the road about a block, and I thought I saw Rex in the pen, just wouldn't talk to me. He was just looking at me, wouldn't talk to me, and I could barely see him. So as I'm getting ready to climb in the pen, Linda calls me and says, "I've got Rex." I said, "No, you don't. I'm getting ready to climb in the pen and get him now." She says, "No, I've got Rex." And I looked and found out later I was getting ready to crawl in the pen with a big old dark billy goat. But Stephen, with his great sense of humor, asked us if we'd see that big old billy goat in Durham last night. Oh, he said ram. I called it billy goat, don't I? Okay. One thing about now, we're 1-1. Amen. We're 1-1. We beat y'all in your home. You come and beat us in ours, and y'all are the ACC champions, and my hat's off to you. That's right. I wouldn't have won anything either way, so praise God, other than bragging rights, and I'm not even feeling like bragging right now, so okay. But we're going to do communion. Communion is an awesome, awesome opportunity. Don't forget tonight, we'll see War Room here. What time is it starting? 6:30. Come over here at 6:30. We're going to Fellowship Hall. We're going to watch War Room. It's going to be good. We're going to have a good time watching War Room. We're going to have popcorn. And tell anybody you can, wants to come see it, come see it. It is free. The admission is free. The popcorn is free. Just come on and enjoy yourself. And if you want to bring something for yourself, let's see. Here's the difference in this than the movie theater. At the movie theater, if you bring something in, they make you take it back to the car. If you bring your snack in tonight, you can keep it. Just share it. All right. So we're going to do communion today, though. The songs all just pushed toward communion, and your name was just so, so beautiful. So we're going to do communion. So I want us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." I want us right now to bow our head. Put your hand up, put your antenna up, but I want you to bow your head. And I want you to ask God to open your mind and your heart to whatever he shows you. And instead of saying, "I'm not worthy to take communion," none of us are worthy to take communion. But under his blood, we are worthy. If you're born again, and you tell God, if he shows you something, say, "Lord, take it." You're worthy for communion today because of what he did. Amen. This is all about the cross. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, God, for all you do for us, Lord, every day. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to touch our minds, touch our hearts, touch our spirits. If there's actions or attitudes that we have been dealing with in the last weeks, and it's not pleasing unto you, I ask you, God, to take them. I ask you, God, to help us to let go of them and give them to you. Lord, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. Nothing is impossible for you, Lord. And Father, whatever you reveal to us, God, it's not to hurt us. We talked about that last week. It's not to hurt us. It's to help us grow. Father, help us put it behind us, Lord. Any action, any attitude, just put it behind us. And step forward and know that you bore that cross so we do not have to be under that bondage. We love you. We praise your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Brother Steve. The Bible said on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He blessed and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." Also, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This cup is my blood in the New Testament. Drink it in remembrance of me. Come, let us join at the Lord's table."
Work out the way I had planned most of the week
Anybody ever had one of those weeks? Yep. You know, there was a young man over in England fishing, an atheist. The atheist is fishing, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, pops up the Loch Ness Monster. The Loch Ness Monster is going to eat him. And so he turns around and says, "Lord, if you're there, I need your help." And all of a sudden, time stopped. And the Lord said, "I didn't think you believed in me." And he said, "Can you give me a break, Lord? 5 minutes ago, I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster." Yeah, so sometimes we have things come to us we don't expect. And just pray for Bethany. She needs some prayer. She's okay, but she needs some prayers, and God's working with her. We thank her. Thank God for what he's doing with her. Just when you say your prayers, just say, "Remember Bethany." Amen. Thursday, I had already been working the whole week on Genesis 22. Working on Genesis 22 for this morning. And as I was working on Genesis 22, of course, I went to Sister Richard's funeral, her mother's funeral, and I was coming back and I stopped at Starbucks for a minute. And when I sat down at Starbucks, the Lord spoke to me as I was working frantically on Genesis 22, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "Scratch it." And I said, "Lord, I've been working on this all week." And he said, "Scratch it." I said, "Okay, Lord, what do we do?" And by that time I get a phone call and I find out some things had not been going on so good with some folks. And then the next day or so I get another phone call. Things aren't going along so good with folks. And just things were going back and forth. And the Lord spoke to me. And I said, "Lord, didn't you hear all this stuff going on?" And he said, "That's why I said scratch it." Does he ever talk to y'all like that? And so I said, "Well, Lord, if you'd have been here, and the Lord said, "That's what you're preaching on." So get out your Bibles, John chapter 11. Stand for the reading of the word. Most of the time, or all the time, I don't just give sermons. I give messages, try to anyway. And the message I give, I always try to give something I have lived or am living. And this is one of those that I have lived and am living. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, talking about my shirt, I thought it was yellow. Y'all saying, some say it's green. Well, last night we were watching Fox News, and all the states were getting colored different ways, and there was colors for Rubio and colors for Cruz and colors for Trump, and then the background colors of Fox. And Linda looked up and said, "That's hard to distinguish when they say this color because two or three look the same." And I loved it. I said, "Welcome to my world." I had no idea that I would do it today. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 1. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say, "Oh, me." Matter of fact, I believe this is going to speak to a whole lot of people today. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he who thou lovest is sick." And when Jesus heard that, he said, "Oh no, let's go right now and take care of business." Some of us will be upset right now. "God, I told you. Weren't you listening?" Here you go. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Wow. Somebody say, wow. Then after that saith he to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. And the disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. Goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, Are not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things he said after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake unto of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, for the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Let's move down a little bit further. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou'd have been here, my brother had not died. Let me just move that around a little bit. Lord, if you'd have answered when I prayed, I wouldn't be in this mess. Lord, if you'd have come right down when you saw it happening, I would not be having any of this trouble that I'm going through. Has anybody ever felt like that? Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I'll praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're all-knowing, all-powerful. You have all things under control. Things are in your hands. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to anoint us, to help us to see, to know, to understand that everything is always within your reach. And that we, as children of God, are always in your hand. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, and help us to hear, and help our faith to grow this day, leaps and bounds. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen. You can be seated. On the way down, get somebody high five, low five, no five. Now, simply, this is the thought that came to me. What if Jesus had been there? Wow. What if Jesus had been there? In their mind, Jesus, if you'd have been here, we would not have had to watch our brother take his last breath. If you'd have been here, we would not have had to have the preparation for burial. If you were here, we would not have had to have this funeral. If you were here, had been here, we wouldn't have had these last 4 days of nothing but turmoil and strife within us and just tore up in our spirits. I hear people all the time say, well, you know what? If so-and-so had been here, how many times something happened to you? You go, well, if my big brother had been here. Well, if my dad had been here, if my sister had been here, if the teacher had only known who she was talking to, if so-and-so did such and such, if only they'd have been here. Well, guess what? Jesus knows what he's doing. Tell somebody, Jesus knows what he's doing. Amen? So now, let me just ask you this question. I'm not going to keep you long. I always say that. An hour later, you say, oh, what's long count? I believe in a baker's dozen. You get 13 donuts in a baker's dozen. Do you know that? Which means they give you more than you ask for. Okay, here you go. And in a mess, yes. Yeah. Okay. John 21 says, Then Martha said to the Lord, If thou had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Now let's look at this story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary, and let's take it from a different viewpoint. Totally, I hope, a totally different viewpoint than you've ever thought of before, in a way that'll make you think, in a way that actually will not tear down your faith, but it'll build your faith and get you ready for the next time you want to say, Lord, if you'd have been here. You see, the first place, let's just talk about where they're at. First place, Bethany. Bethany, I'm not talking about my daughter either. Bethany has a double meaning. It means house of joy, but it also means house of pain. Think about that for a minute. Let's sink in. Bethany means house of joy, house of pain. It's an intriguing fact of life that the same thing that can be your source of your greatest joy can also be the source of your greatest pain. Wow. The thing that you look to and you thank God for, you can't believe that God give this to you, and then, you know, 6 months later something happens, you go, God, why'd you give them to me? So the same thing that be your source of joy can be your source of pain. And so think about that in the background of this picture. Okay? And also I want you to know something else in this story. Something about God that you may not know, hopefully you have. If you've been sitting in here for any time and listening to the sermons, you will know this. But just in case you forgot it, I want you to remember something. God wants to perfect you, not pamper you. God's not a cosmic sugar daddy waiting up in heaven, trying to wait for you to give him a command for him to come down and just give you whatever you want. That's not how it works. God wants you to grow, and God wants you to get strong, and God wants you to be able to handle things in life, not only for your sake, but for others' sake, and God will use you to help others. So, He wants to perfect you, not pamper you, and He wants to challenge your faith. You see, God's more interested in changing us than changing our circumstances. Did you know that? God's more interested in seeing us change then stuff on the outside changes. So sometimes God does change, but if it's beneficial, then He's going to leave it in place and He's going to work on you instead. Matter of fact, if Jesus had been there, they would not have discovered seven things that we need to know. Here's the seven things that came to me. Seven things that we need to know. When I was saying, God, if you'd have been there. And then when He started speaking to me, what if I had been there? Then you wouldn't have seen this. Wow. So I want to show you some things that would have happened that unless if Jesus had been there, they wouldn't have seen this. Well, number one, of course, is very plainly, God always hears our cries. She calls, she says, our brother Lazarus is sick, the one you love. And the Bible says that Jesus loved him. Matter of fact, here's the Phillips translation. Lazarus, who became seriously ill, so the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, your friend is ill. When Jesus received the message, he said, this illness is not meant to end in death. It is going to bring glory to God. It will show the glory of the Son of God. So when he heard of Lazarus' illness, he stayed where he was 2 days longer. Daniel, trying to get a hold of God and trying to get, God had already showed him stuff that was going to happen in the last day, and he wanted to find out what God was doing. Please explain this to me. The Bible says he didn't even take a bath for 21 days. Some of us would enjoy that. Most of us wouldn't, but there'd be some that would say, praise God. Why do you smell so bad? I'm doing this for God. I can hear my youngest saying, I'm seeking God, Dad. Go take a bath. I'm seeking God, Dad. When they're little, can I just go and skip the bath tonight? After 21 days, the Bible says that God spoke to Daniel and he said, do not be afraid, Daniel. The first day that you began to pray, I heard you. So how many here feel like maybe God is absent in your life right now? Or there's things that have happened in your life and you feel like God just didn't hear, God just didn't care, God just was working something else, or God was somewhere. Here it seems like God is not interested in Daniel. He gives him something, then doesn't seem to follow through. 21 days, he was doing something. Number one, he was building Daniel's faith. Not only was he building Daniel's faith, listen carefully. Part of the word faith, there's a big word inside of faith that's called endurance. A lot of us have faith unless we have to have endurance. If we don't have endurance, if we have to have endurance, then our faith is very slim and none. So he was telling Daniel, I'm here, but there was a battle. We had to call for Michael Archangel. We had to get into battle here. Not meaning that Satan is stronger than Daniel, but Jesus was trying to show him that there's a spiritual battle going on. Anytime in this world, anywhere, there's a spiritual battle going on. But especially if you set your heart to seek him. The more I seek him, the more I find him. We could put a third verse in there. The more I seek him, the more I find trouble. Amen? Okay, so now, and then the disciples on the boat. They're on the boat. Jesus is in the pilot's position, sitting there with his head made a pillow out of it, and he's asleep, and they're about to go under. And they said, Master, care us not that we perish. With Daniel, he couldn't see God. With the disciples, they saw God, but he was asleep, like he didn't even care. No, Jesus was trying to show them that in your worst nightmare, God still is in control. And even in your worst nightmare, you don't have to be tore all to pieces, but you can trust God to give you the same peace that Jesus had. So, remember this. Whatever he permits to enter into our lives, he always has his purpose wrapped up in it. If you can get that in your head, this will be worth every dime you spend on listening on this today. Little boy out there talking to the preacher, they're walking out of the church. As they're walking out of the church, a little boy reaches in his pocket. His daddy's there and his wife and their mama, and they're all shaking hands with the preacher. And the preacher looks down, and the little boy says, here, Pastor. And he gives him a quarter. And he says, well, thanks, buddy. What's this for? He said, my daddy said, you're about the poorest preacher he's ever heard. Oh, okay. Ah! Okay. So look, whenever God lets something happen, remember, he could be there, he could stop it, he could just go, stop, and it's gone. On the cross, he could have called 10,000 leagues of angels, and they would have come to his rescue. But he knew on the cross he had, listen, faith with endurance. He knew he had to endure the cross in order that we could be saved. The same way, whenever God lets something come into your life, faith plus endurance, you'll find out that God is working not only your faith, but on your endurance. So listen, we don't always, I'm telling you, we don't always see, we don't always feel, we don't always experience immediate answers. I love it when God just pops up and he answers while I'm talking. That's awesome. I love it when I'm riding down the road and I'm praying to God and turn around and there it is. Wow. But you know what? It don't always work like that. You say, that's why, number one, you got to know that God hears your prayers. He's not neglecting you. He's not listening to you, but he is building faith, building endurance, and there's some more things. I don't want to get ahead of myself. The next six things will kind of help explain. Okay? So number two. First, know that God always hears your prayers. If God had been there, you'd have known that anyway. But when you see the rest of it pulling up, you'll say, wait a minute, now this is all making sense. Number two, it's always too early to give up on God. It's always too early to give up on God. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness is not unto death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. But wait a minute. It's been 4 days. The man is dead. God, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But because you were not here, now it's sewed up. It cannot change. It's over. It's done. Stick a fork in it. God, you blew it. I know that you might not have ever said, God, you blew it. But you thought it. Let's be honest. You thought it. You see, two things. I want you to remember this. This is very important. Two things. God has a plan and God has timing. Remember that. God always has a plan And God has timing. When Jesus heard that, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that your son, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. But we're already aggravated. We're already burnt up. We're already burnt out. You're talking about you glad you weren't here, so we'll believe. And Lord, I'm going to tell you, I'm having a hard time believing right now because I ain't seen you. Let me just tell you something about God. Delays are not denials. Just because God hasn't answered when you expected it or how you expected it doesn't mean he's not going to answer. Now that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, when he had heard therefore he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You heard how serious it was. Why didn't you get on your horse and gallop on down there? The reason being is he already knew he was going to raise him. Because he said the sickness is not unto death. They saw him die, but he says the sickness is not unto death. Some of y'all, you're thinking, God, why didn't you show up before this last bill came? Why didn't you show up before this last doctor trip? Why didn't you show up before this happened in my house? Why didn't you show up before this happened with my child? And God's saying, chill. Now, I was thinking about it last night. I was sitting back, and I often do this when I'm praying for all my family. And I sit back and I think about, I just go right down the line and name off all the kids, and I name off the grandkids, and I name off people in my family, and I name off church people. But when I look at it, and I think about some of the things people are going through. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm going, this seems very bad. But I thought about it. How many's ever watched a movie that actually got to you? I mean, it had you so full of suspense. Your heart was beating hard, and you're watching, and you're wondering how John Wayne's going to get away from the Indians this time. You're wondering how Robin Hood's going to get away from the Sheriff of Nottingham. And you watch things, and the very first time you see it, your heart's doing like this. I was watching The Rifleman one Saturday morning. He got shot off his horse. Of course, he's a big man, so he made it into town, but he got shot in the head, and so they thought he was somebody else because the bandit was his size and put his stuff on him, and they were going to hang him. And the first time I saw it, they waited till the last 30 seconds of the show to keep from hanging him. And I was going, you can't hang The Rifleman. Then about 6 months later, it came on. The first time I was on the edge of my seat, I wouldn't move. I'm thinking, you can't hang The Rifleman. I saw it again. He gets shot. They go in and start talking junk to him. And I said, you know what? I'd rather go on down to IGA and get me a cheese biscuit. I'll come on back. Next episode will be on something different. What's the difference? The first time I didn't know how it ended. The second time I did. Some of y'all in here are going, I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know how this is going to take place. I don't know how we're going to get through this. But God's looking over and saying, I've already seen the end. That's why I tell you, fear not. I've already seen how this works out. I already know. That's why some of y'all in some of your biggest confusion and in some of your biggest sin, and you're thinking, how can God, I told him I wouldn't do it and I did it again. How can he anoint me and keep going with me and keep using me after I keep messing up? And God says, because I've seen the end. In the end, you win. So trust him. Watch this. Here it is. We're going to go quickly. Quickly, I think. All right. It's always too early to give up on God. So what does this mean to us today? Get ready. Being a Christian does not mean we'll never go through storms. Amen? When situations enter your life bigger than your capacity to handle it, take it to the Lord in prayer, always. When you pray, remember, you are not sending breaking news to God. This is CNN. This is Fox News to God. Headlines, David blew it again. Headlines, David needs your help again. No. God already knows what's going to everything that has and will. He's already seen the end. So He knows. That's why He keeps anointing you and keeps using you and keeps doing things for you, because He's already seen the end from the beginning. So then, watch this. Here we go. Whatever He permits to enter in the arena of our lives. Again, I'm going to put some things there multiple times so you can get it in your head. He has His purpose wrapped up in it. And remember, His timing is not our timing. Amen? All right? Never give up on God, no matter how grim the circumstances may seem. So that's number two. Number one, God always hears us. Number two, it's always too early to give up on God. Number three, God can resurrect your dead things. Amen? God can resurrect it. God can do something. If they had not, if He'd have been there, they wouldn't have known that. If He'd have been there, they would not have known that it's never too early to give up on God, and they would not have known that God can resurrect your dead things. So here it is. I got this here. I must have been sleepy when I did this, and I put them all up at one time. Watch this. Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. So watch this. Watch this. He waits two more days and takes off for Bethany. After he gets there, he's been dead 4 days. Y'all say four. At this point, he was legally dead. To the Jew, they would wait till the fourth day after death to make sure you were dead. And after the fourth day, there's two things that took place. Physically, legally, on the fourth day, they would pronounce you legally dead. Also, they believed the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. That's why the Sadducees were sad, you see. The Pharisees believed that the spirit hovered around the body for 3 days and then it left. So spiritually, there's no chance of bringing him back because the spirit's gone. Legally, he's already dead. He's legally pronounced dead. So Jesus arrives. When he's there, there's professional mourners. They're crying and weeping and boo-hooing. The body's been prepared for burial. It's wrapped up in grave clothes. He's inside, and the body's already began to stink. You see, it seemed hopeless. Some of y'all in here right now are thinking, if God had been there, I wouldn't be in this hopeless situation. And God says, hold on there, home slice. I'm getting ready to blow your mind. I'm going to show you something that you'll never believe could even happen. I'm going to resurrect something dead in your life, and you're going to go, huh? This is already a legal thing. It's already done. It's already spiritually. I feel like it's over. And God says, hold on. You haven't given me a chance to work. I could have stopped it before it happened, but if I stopped it before it happened, you would have said, God, you're good to me. But that's about as far as it would go. Now you're going to be able to say more than just God is good to me. You're going to say, oh, praise God. Look how powerful and mighty our God is. He is awesome. He can even raise the dead things in my life. So here we go. Let's go. Let's move on. Number four, God is compassionate and He cares for us. The Bible says this is one of my brothers sitting out there. I won't mention his name, but his initials are Patrick Baker. Whenever we go to Pitt Detention Center, say, y'all got a sermon ready? And he'll go, yep, my favorite one, Jesus wept. I thought about you, brother. Matter of fact, my heart went to you. I said, touch him, Lord, because I'm using this sermon. Jesus wept. Now, when Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit. Jesus knew he was going to raise him. Jesus already knew that Lazarus was coming back. But he also knew that the circumstances surrounding it was actually causing dysfunction in the family. So, he asked where had they laid him. He knew, but he asked them. And then when he gets to the graveyard, when he sees his sisters tore up, he weeps with them. Don't you think you got a God of sticks and stone that does not understand? Don't think that you ain't got a God that knows what's going on in your life. You got a God that can handle what you're going through. And when he sees you When you get going through something and you feel like you're about to burst on the inside, He's there. And He will put His arms around you. That song was so awesome. I just want to lean up against you and feel your heartbeat. That's what He wants to do. He wants to get so close that you can feel His heartbeat. He wants you to know He's got compassion on you, that you're not just something out there. You're not just another. You are His child, and He is your personal Savior. And so He wants you to know that He cares. And when you weep, He weeps. Matter of fact, watch this. God is compassionate and cares about us. Watch this. Jesus cried like we cry. He shed tears like we shed tears. He was moved like we were moved. Wow. He was hungry. He was sleepy. He was tired. He had to go in the woods or go in the wilderness and get by himself and talk to his Father because things sometimes were just so heavy and he didn't want to move without God helping him. But just remember this. We do not serve a distant, despondent God. Listen to me. I wrote it all down there. I don't know if you can read it or not. God that came down, or God came down, lived like we live so that He can meet us where we are. Job told God when he was suffering, "You have no idea the pain I'm going through. You have no idea because there's no days been between us." Meaning your God, you don't know sin, you don't know hurt, you don't know hunger. You don't know what it's like to be in need, God. I do. And you don't have a daysman between us. That word daysman means a referee. It also means somebody that can reach up with one hand, an arbitrator, and grab God, reach down with the other hand and grab man. There's no daysman between us. Now watch this. Who's the daysman? With one hand he reached up, he was off the earth. With one hand he reached up and grabbed God. With the other hand he reached down and grabbed man. The daysman, the arbitrator, the mediator, the one that knows what it's like to suffer hunger, the one that knows what it's like to suffer pain, the one that knows what it's like to have needs. And he reached up to the Father. And he told the Father, now the Father knows. You see, Jesus loved Martha, Jesus loved Mary, Jesus loved Lazarus, and he also loves us. So don't be afraid to take your concerns to God. And just know, you're not going to aggravate Him. You're not going to ruin His busy day. God always has time for you. So now, number five, we're getting close. See, we're getting really close. We'll be out of here in just about 5 minutes. You got to remember this one. This keeps me anchored. I sit back and I look over life and I think, life has not been easy. I look back and think about even just, trying to work through the ministry and trying to get set up in ministry and the credentials and all that stuff and the training and the continual training, you know, has not been easy. And just last week I re-enrolled in Lee University and I'm working on a counseling degree in Lee University and they were about to tear my tater up last week. And so while they're tearing my tater up, other stuff was going on too, and I was here and I was there and I was everywhere. And so Lee University called me when I was sitting in Starbucks and said, my office. And they said, Mr. Linton, you realize you're behind. I said, thank you for that little message. I said, I'm going to stay behind from time to time. It's called pastoring. And they said, okay, Mr. Lim, we'll talk to you later. Bye. And I just went, Lord, here it goes again. You know, I think about going through all the deaths in our family and think about all the stuff that's going on and think about the stuff now and thinking about the things going on. And I see that. And what keeps me anchored every time is I remember when life is out of control, God is always in control. When everything around you is falling all apart, when the ship seems to be going under, Jesus can stand on the bow of the ship and say, peace, be still. Remember me telling you not long ago, I was at the house and I was trying to buckle down this piece of plastic because and the wind was blowing it. And it was a huge piece of plastic. It was a tarp, huge tarp. And I shouldn't even been where it was at, but I was where it was at because I couldn't get any help. And I'm up there and I'm getting to work on this tarp and the wind's blowing it so hard. And there was only one nail holding one little corner. And so I'm trying to get this great little big tarp up and trying to get it over without falling over. And I'm working on it and the wind wouldn't quit blowing. I was trying to hammer and couldn't hammer it. And Bethany was looking up and said, "What you going to do, Dad?" And I kid you not, I heard the Lord say, "Well, if you stop the sun for Joshua." I said, "That's right." And I kid you not. I stood up and said, "Peace! Be still!" And the wind stopped. And Bethany said, "Dad, did you see that?" And I said, "Yeah, darn, give me a nail." And so I put everything back in place. And by the time I put everything back in place, as soon as I hit that last nail, the wind started back. I said, "Thank you, God. That's awesome." Now, does he do it every time? No. He did it that time. He said, "Let me just show you a little something here. Therefore, many of the Jews had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did. They put their faith in him." So watch this. Here's what he did. Watch. And this right here is this actually is the sermon. And you can take these little points here and think about it. Ready? Remember, when life's out of control, God's always in control. First, he has interest in your problem. Where have you laid him? When the axe head fell, the prophet said, "Oh, where did it go down?" But Moses, "What am I going to do when I get before Pharaoh?" And he says, "What you got in your hand?" You see, God's interested in your problem. And so God already knew where he was at, but he was involving them in this whole process. And he wanted them to see the majesty of the power of God in the middle of total chaos. So, there's interest in your problem. God's interested in your problem today. Do you know that? He is so interested. And you know what he's saying? He's saying to you right now, some of you right now, you're hearing it in your head as I speak. That's a problem, God, and I need you to help me with it. And so God says, let's get down to business and see what the real problem is. This is what he's saying. What's the real problem? Let's work this out. So, he's interested. Number two, there's an invitation. Roll away the stone. I'll get that in just a minute. Roll away the stone. He invited them in on it. Number three, he was involved. He was empowering. The Bible says that he stood at the tomb after they rolled away the stone. And he hollered with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth!" Now before he did, he said, "Lord, I know you, thank you for hearing me. I know you hear me, but I'm doing this for them." And he calls Lazarus' name. And of course, first time I heard this, I thought it was awesome. Now I've heard it 100,000 times, but some of y'all may not have ever heard it before. You know why he called Lazarus' name when he got to the graveyard and just said, "Come forth"? He called Lazarus' name because if he just hollered, "Come forth," everybody would have come out in their graves. And then investing. Lazarus didn't just walk out. If you can just imagine, when somebody died, they were wrapped in grave clothes. Their face was wrapped in a napkin and wrapped. So they actually looked like a mummy. So Lazarus didn't come out and go, "I'm here." Can you imagine? I can hear it now. It was more like this. Some of y'all would be happy if God just got you to that point in your problem. But you know what? God don't want to keep you here. Jesus looked at him and said, "Loose him and let him go." When God comes in on the scene, he's not just going to help you with your problem. He's going to invest in you. He's going to show you something more powerful than you ever could imagine. Matter of fact, he's going to help heal that broken heart. Loose him and let him go. Heal that broken heart. Loose him and let him go. Help me understand, God, what's going on. Loose him and let him go. God, I'm stuck in my mind. God, help me. And this is where he said, loose him and let him go. So remember, when life is out of control, God is always in control. And I really am getting ready to close. Eventually. I told you 7 points. So here's number 5 again. This just a little summary. What does it mean to us today that God's always in control no matter how things look? Sometimes bad things happen to good people for the glory of God. Did you know that? Mama had all that heart problem, and the doctor said, I mean, she'd been going through this for years, and she'd never had a heart attack. And then on the night Bill Clinton was elected, and I'm not saying that's why, please. I just remember that because that was what happened. She started having chest pains. By the time they got her to the hospital in Washington, they said, oh, you'll be okay. When they got her to Greenville, they checked her and said, no. And so they did some scans on her heart and came in and showed Mama her heart beating. And when it was beating, there was an aneurysm in Mama's heart at the bottom, the size of a lemon. And they said, Miss Linton, you should not even be here. Your heart should have blown. Mama was very upset to start with, but he said, we got the technology now. We can fix this if you'll let us. And so we signed the papers, and she had her 4th open heart surgery, and they fixed that aneurysm. And Mama said, I can't fathom, number one, why I'm still living, and I can't fathom why this happened, and I can't fathom why God didn't just let it burst. I said, Mama, it's going to wind up being a testimony. And sure enough, there were so many people blessed with that testimony. Yesterday, I had a guy working on my phone. My phone's about gone again. And the guy's working on my phone, and he finds a pastor, and he said, pray for me, if you will. He said, the only thing I got a problem with is my son. He's 16 months old, and they're saying that he's got cystic fibrosis. And I said, well, can I tell you about my son? And he said, I'm all ears. And I began to tell him how God, how Daniel, they said he had cystic fibrosis, and how God healed that boy. And at 17 years old, when they said he'd be dead, he came in 3rd in the state wrestling tournament. I said then, at 21, he was a Beaufort County deputy. By 22 or 23, he was the youngest drug enforcement officer in the state. And I said, just recently, he went to Afghanistan 6 times. You tell me God ain't good. And he said, God's good. You see, some things, bad things happen to you, but it's for the glory of God. I'm closing. Learn from other people's experiences. So that God won't have to send you through all those experiences yourself. Amen. I'd rather learn from yours than mine. Okay. Y'all didn't. All right. It's never too late, and it's not over until God says it's over. God's always in control. Delay does not mean denial. And whatever God permits in your life, he has his purpose wrapped in it. Okay. Number 6. We're closing. Now, you see, you start getting more shouting as you see the numbers getting higher. Okay, because that tells me you got it. If you ain't got it, we'll go back to 1 and start over. We got it. Say, did we got it? okay. Number 6, we have a part to play in our miracle. Every time. God had to get it through my head. You have a part to play in your miracle. God showed me something a little different about this. He said, take away the stone. Watch this. He was saying, of course, you have a part. Faith without works is dead. You have to put feet on your prayers. But watch this. This is what the Lord showed me that I really hadn't thought of this way. When he told them to roll away the stone, listen carefully. He was telling them to remove our man-made barriers. Wow. The stone was a man-made barrier in between the miracle, you, and God. Some of us has built man-made barriers between us for our safety, for what we think is our protection. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's whatever. But we put this barrier between us to protect us. And God says, if you want a miracle, move the barrier. Get it out of the way. So watch. Watch this. You do what you can do, and God will do what you can't do. And here I'm closing. Number 7, and I'm closing. God is able to do far above what you can ever imagine and think. Fellas, get ready to play something. Play some Lazarus Get Out of There music. And when he thus spoke, and he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. John 11:44-45 says, and he that dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen things which Jesus did believed on him. Watch this. When Jesus speaks, your Lazarus will come forth. And when your Lazarus, you know what Lazarus means? If you look at Lazarus in the Greek, it's Lazarus. But if you look at Lazarus in the Hebrew, it's Eleazar. Eleazar is the Hebrew version of Lazarus. And Eleazar means God is my helper, or without God I can't do it. Lazarus was in a predicament. Without God, he couldn't do it. He was dead. His sisters knew he was dead. He was legally and spiritually dead. But when Jesus speaks, everybody is going to know it. So my question to you today, very simply, what do you need to resurrect in your life? Is it your hope? Just hope. Maybe you feel like things are out of control and you don't know how to handle it. You don't know how to get things back in control. Things are really wearing you out, and you're trying to figure out how to handle this. God has your back. When things are out of control, God is still in control. God is able to resurrect the dead things in your life. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Lazarus, Eleazar, God, without you, I can't do it. Can't do it. How great is our God? Everybody stand. If you got a need in your life today, I want to invite you to come on up here. Come on up here. You got a need. If you need God in your life, if you need salvation, I invite you up here. If you need God to resurrect your experience with Him, you had an experience with God, you had a life with God, and now that life has gone to the side. You need God to resurrect that life. Come on. You got relationships in your life that seem to be dead. Let God resurrect them. Nothing is impossible for our God. All that will, come and pray. Come and pray, all that will.
Don't sing.
He is able to resurrect. He is able to resurrect. He is able to build your faith again. He is able to lift you up. He is able to heal your body. He is able to heal that relationship. He is able to work that miracle. Trust Him. Trust Him. He is able. He is able. He is able. He is able. Our God is a powerful God. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God is able. Our God. Our God. Our God. Our God can do it. Our God has power. Our God has strength. Our God has compassion. Our God loves us.
Godhead, three and one. Father, thank you, Father. Spirit, Son, Lion and Lamb.
If you're out there and you didn't want to come up here, but you still have a need in your life, just raise that hand to heaven.
How great.
Raise that hand to heaven. God hears you. God hears you. It's not in the position that you're in here. It's in the position that you're in here. God, I need you. God, I need you. Resurrect my hope. Resurrect my relationship with you. Resurrect my relationship with someone else. Resurrect my problem. It stinks by now.
Yes. My heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of our praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. And how great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And oh, we'll sing how great is our God.
God is awesome. Look at somebody and give him a high five. I sit back and I think about it all the time. We don't even realize the times that God resurrects things in our life. If we did, our life would be a continuous of praise. A continuous of praise. Amen? Continuous of praise. Come out tonight at 6:30. We're going to see War Room. So come on out. You're going to enjoy it. Hope you're going to be blessed. Everybody that's ever seen it says it was a tremendous blessing to them. We got popcorn. We got, I reckon, fat-free popcorn. We got fatty popcorn. Either one. Amen. Over to fellowship hall. We're going to enjoy it. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. It has captions. We will have captions up, too, for those that would like to see the captions. Just sit close. The captions will be up there. You can see it. Amen. Isn't God good? All the time, God is good. Brother Frank.
Father God, we thank you for the word that's gone forth this day, Lord. And Lord, though the enemy comes in like a flood, you always raise up the standard against him, God. Let us hold on, Lord. He's gone too far now to turn back. Father, I just ask you now, just guide, guard, direct us, Lord. Keep us, Lord God, unto that day which is appointed unto us. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the praise, the glory, and honor for it all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.